rolls up pretty quickly, and Agoki's next to him on the inside. O'Malley going pretty well. Gee, Brommel's in a bit of strife here. He's really tying up, and Agoki's in front of him. What a surprise. Hughes and also O'Malley in front of him. So O'Malley's finished probably fourth there. 997 for Adagoki. So that's the first time he's been under 10 seconds. What a shock.
Hello there. You're welcome to another interesting edition of Spot Africana, where we talk about everything Africa as it we talk about everything sports as it relates to Africa. My name is Oba Adeola, and you're welcome to season two of Spot Africana. Yes, we ended the first season last month before the Olympics, and I'm sure you realized that last season was a very packed one. So, and this is it. Promises to be exciting. We intend to bring you the important stories that is making the round again as it concerns Africa, and we tend to the personalities that have excelled, and we talk about our challenges as well too, and to see how we can do things right. Remember, you can always listen to our podcast on all the major podcast platforms such as Deezer, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcast, and many more. All you just need to do is type in Spot Africana and it's going to come out. And of course, we are on the social media. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and on Instagram. So I implore you to fasten your seatbelt as we take a trip around the world of sports as it concerns Africa in this new season. Well, how well could we start the new season by bringing someone that is very important, someone recently hit the limelight, the world limelight, took the world by storm. I've followed this person from 2018 to be precise, and I've seen a steady rise, and it just concluded Tokyo Olympics. That was the names of virtually every Nigerian's lips. Due to his outstanding performance. So it brings me great pleasure to introduce to you the 100 meters finalist for Nigeria, Enoch Adegoke. Enoch, thanks for joining us on Sports Africana.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Nice to have you. And how are you doing? I'm sure you're still trying to recover from everything.
I'm doing fine, and definitely I'm trying to recover from body, you know, the own environment and all.
And when did you arrive? When did you arrive, Nigeria?
I left Tokyo already, but I'm not yet in Nigeria. So
you're not yet in Nigeria.
Yes.
Okay, but you left Tokyo already.
Yes.
Okay, that's great then. Well, again, like I said, everybody. Unless you're an athletic buff, not too many people knew Enoch Adegoke. As a matter of most people knew, were more focused on the Ese Brome, Belatin Okagbare, Toby Amusho, people that have more or less hit the limelight before you, in court. But I know your journey did not start at Tokyo Olympics. But before we go into you, how did you, just to get people to have a feel about you, tell us a bit about your background.
My background. Well, I'm from Oyo State, I schooled in Obafemi Awolowo University. And what else can I say? I'm an athlete. I'm a sprinter. I specialize in 100 meters and 200 meters.
Okay. So talking about what you do now, being a sprinter, how did your athletic journey started? Were you running in your primary school, your secondary school, or how did it started? Or were you playing in other sports before now?
Okay. Well, my talent, has been discovered from my primary school days. Been running since then my secondary school, There was some sort of breaks at the point, but I ran all through my secondary school days. And then when I got to university, before getting to university, I was like, okay, I need to take this, I need to be serious about this particular sport. And I decided anytime I got admission, I'm able to get admission into any university, I will look for the school sports team, school athletics team. Then when I got admitted into Obafemi University, I did that and I did the tryouts to get into the team. Then from there, the whole journey started. Being coached by late coach Wink Omotosho, my coach presently, he has been coaching me right from time, Ayokunle Delusi.
Right. So, talking about getting to the... So, Obafemilo University, that's in Ife, that's Osun State, in the southwest of Nigeria. They already had an athletics team already. They created... Okay, well, that's interesting to know. So, how did you... how is it for you to combine studies with your athletics career? More so, we know the way the academies system is in Nigeria, strike and everything and thereabout. And of course, unlike America, where there's a collegiate system where you can basically combine studying and athletics or any kind of sport. But how are you able to manage or marry this together?
Well, I've been asked this question in a lot. How do I combine school? And well, I can't really pinpoint how I was able to do everything, but I just said that it was God that just helped me through. It wasn't an easy one, not a funny one, combining classes and training and everything together. But all I know is that at the end of the day, I survived it. And it wasn't easy, to be sincere, but thank God I survived it.
Was there a time that you thought that, oh, maybe I want to, I mean, this is getting too much, dropping one for the other? Was that a time that thought came to your mind?
Well, let me just say, there wasn't a time I decided to give up on any of them. Though there were a number of times in which I was okay, quote unquote, pushed to the wall, and the whole stress was on my neck. How do I go about it? But I wasn't sure I decided to give up at any point in that school, because my parents sent me to school. I can't imagine leaving school and telling them, okay, I want to go on a run. And I intentionally joined the school athletics because of my career. I knew it's a future something. So I can't imagine telling myself I want to drop this because of school, this and that. I can't just imagine dropping any of them because it won't worth it at the end. You know, leaving sports, then telling myself I want to focus on school, then coming back to the sport later might not be a wise thing to do. Sport might not really go like that. And at the same time, telling myself, okay, I'll come back to school later, the interest might have gone. So, though there were times in which I was, you know, I was at the edge of telling myself, can I really continue? But I'm not sure I decide maybe dropping one for another.
That's very, very inspirational. That's very nice to hear. And it's also good to see that it's feasible for you to combine athletics or any kind of sport and be studying at the same time. And you're already a testament to that. Now, I want to ask
it still depends on the kind of course you are studying on campus. Okay. You know, imagine studying, being in a medical school in Nigeria and for a crazy school like OAU and saying you want to do sport as well, except you want to be doing it for, probably you don't want to take it as a serious sport, or maybe just for leisure, just to, you know, for playing sake. Or there are some engineering courses like that I know that you might not be able to combine if you want to be serious about your sporting career. So it still depends on the kind of course. Not as though my course of study as well allowed me to be fully serious with the sport. But then it's still flexible compared to some other sports. Do you understand?
All right. And what did you study for our viewers who may want to know that?
Okay. I studied geography, actually.
Wow. That's actually quite a very tough one, too, that I know. Yeah. Wow. That's great. Okay. Oh, that's good. So another thing that caught my attention about you is the fact that when I saw you, the first time I knew you was at the Commonwealth Games in Australia, which I will come to. Yeah. I'll come to. But one thing that gave me some sort of joy was the fact that, and I'm going to come back to it later, was the fact that you trained in Nigeria, and I can't recall any Nigerian athlete that fully trained in Nigeria that got to the finals of the Olympics. Okay, so my question: how is the training like? I mean, we know that we don't have the best of facilities per se, or the environment is not probably the most ideal. So, how are you able to get yourself to the point where you are not running sub 10? Because I know you train in Nigeria mainly, if I'm right.
Yes, I train in Nigeria. Well, the first thing is that I just give thanks to God for that, you know, for the privilege to be able to achieve those feats. Then, one thing I know about coaches generally, Nigerian coaches especially, is that they have been able to improvise. Then my coach, especially, I've been with him for some time now. He's one person that can easily think fast about, okay, we don't really have this particular equipment. Then we can make use of this. We can easily combine one or two things together to improvise for some things that we might not be able to get at our disposal. And it's someone that is being able to draw programs that suits the environment, that suits the kind of person I am or every other athlete that is under him. So with all these ones combined together, then of course, the grace of God, those are the things that basically helped me all through my journey qualifying for the Olympics as well.
But you do agree that in terms of training facility, it can be better?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Now, I will now go back a bit to, like I said, when I discovered, how did you get into the athletics team? That's the Nigerian athletics team. How did you break through? Because like as I've stated, I only got to know you when at the Commonwealth Games in Gold Coast, Australia. So how did you get to the point where you were selected first? And if my memory serves me right, you got to the finals as well. Commonwealth Games. Yeah, I remember.
Yes.
Yourself and
Shaye Ogunlewe. Yes. Okay, when I joined the school athletics team then, my aim wasn't just to participate and just stop at the school games. Nuga, Wauk, and all. I had a goal in mind that, okay, I really want to represent Nigeria. Then, having that one in mind, going for the school games, I knew that was not the end for me. It's just a means to an end. So from there, my coach, yeah, and another thing is that my coach is someone that if you are training under him, he will let you know. He's not training you for school games alone. He definitely wants you to represent Nigeria. So our training sessions, he incorporates it to the next extent that we don't just train for school games alone. Anytime there are national competitions, there are national trials, we all go to participate. And since then, I've been going for competitions. Before I knew it, I was being able to, you know, register my times. Then when trial times comes, then I was being selected. So that was how I was able to break into the national team.
So who spotted you in the national team? Who was the coach that spotted you that, wow, this guy is a good prospect?
Well, the way athletics is, the way track and field is, it's not as though probably someone will spot you or something. Definitely you are training with a particular coach, then you go for trials, then you are selected into the national team. So not as though it's someone that scouts for you. The only person that can spot you and scout for you So to say, let me say, it's just your coach that has been training you to get to go for the trials. So there is no national coach that spotted or scouted from you.
I think that's just been from
coach then will go to the national team.
So before going for the Commonwealth Games, so you went for, mm-hmm. there was the trials?
Oh, definitely.
So when you go for the trial, what was your position to be able to be picked to represent Nigeria at the Commonwealth Games?
Okay. At the Commonwealth Games trial, I came first. I came first at the trials then.
Oh, ahead of Seyi Ogunlewe?
He was at the competition, but I guess he had some little complications, so he couldn't participate in the finals.
Okay. Wow, interesting. So now getting to the Commonwealth proper, which probably was your first, was that, if I'm right, that was the first time you represented Nigeria?
Yes.
Right. So how was the feeling like when you got to the Commonwealth Games? I mean, getting to the tracks and seeing other international athletes. What did that do to you, to your psyche?
Well, that was my first time. And the fact that I competed with guys that I've been seeing on TVs, guys I've been seeing in the swimming around. Going there for the first time, I just went to run. I run with a free mind. Let me just run. Let's see what can happen. And I wasn't really intimidated at first. Then along the line, my confidence was boosted. And I was like, okay, this way it's like the journey has started already. There's no turning back. So my psyche was, was pumped. And my confidence was being brought up as well. Yes. Think the business has just begun. So that was it.
And just to say this, in your first heat at the Commonwealth Games, you ran with England's Henry Akins Ayeti,
yes,
who at that point in time was already more experienced than you were, but you defeated him in the heat. When you noticed that you did, how did you feel?
Well, prior to that time, I didn't really know a lot of people. So, though, when I saw some of my colleagues were like, don't worry, just go and do your thing. So the fact that I didn't really know most of them, some persons in my heat helped me because I wasn't focused on beating anybody. I was just focused on myself. And at the end of the day, when I was being told about the kind of guy, I was like, okay, wow. Anyways, thank God. Probably he himself didn't know me before. So it might be like, probably let me just play with this, see you get. So,
wow. So the fact that you did not, you didn't valiantly know anybody, you didn't have any sort of mental block. So that really helped you.
Yeah, it does. It did help me.
That's great. So, of course, eventually you got to the semifinals. And again, to the surprise of many, in the second semifinal of the Commonwealth Games, you came first. So by this particular point in time, your confidence level must have risen.
Definitely.
So how did you feel when you qualified for the finals?
At first, I didn't really know much about how special that might be to a lot of persons, because I was like, wow, I got to the finals. Then I knew anything can happen getting to the finals. But then, thank God.
And of course, you got to the finals. You came seventh in the finals, and which, by all standards, being your first major competition, that was a very good one. What did that do to your confidence?
As I said earlier on, competing with those guys initially gave me a kind of mindset. What I've been praying for, working for, has already started. So getting to the finals of Commonwealth Games, I was like, wow, this is an international competition. And it's all starting. Yeah, like I've already started the big stage. So I need to do more work. And if I thought I have any mindset of giving up, then I should think about it again.
Right. And now coming back home, because from, like I said, that was when I knew you, when I first knew in Okadikoke. And of course, I've been monitoring you. What was your decision from then onwards that, okay, after this, then it's the big stage, the World Athletics Championship or thereabout. Were you selected for the, did you participate at the World Athletics Championship in Doha? I'm not too sure you did.
I didn't qualify for the flat because there's a particular time we need to run. I was some few microseconds shy away from the time. But I participated in the relays.
You were part of the contingent.
Yes.
Great. Now it seems that things are moving on for you from you and Swartz, and of course you were participating at all the various meets. Then all of a sudden, from last year, because we had the pandemic, how did that make you feel? How did you, what was your training regime like? How did you adjust to the whole pandemic situation? Knowing that that was the year for the Olympics, how did you adjust?
Well, as at that time, I have not even qualified for the Olympics. And I was just desperate to compete, to qualify, you know. But at the end of the day, I noticed the Olympics was postponed. But I still need to prepare because any competition can just come forth. But then, everywhere was closed. I trained inside campus, weekend after campus. So just between me and my coach, we drafted one or two things. Sometimes I have some indoor exercises that I do. Then sometimes I found a field or a road very early in the morning before things gets busy, just to participate in one or two things. Then that was how it all went for like 2-4 months before everyone is beginning to, before they began to open stadiums and all again. Then we started another season.
And of course, one of the major problems in Nigeria athletics, I'm not going to go into the administrative issues or whatever, but was the fact that there weren't enough competitions. Then again, the National Sports Festival was postponed, almost did not hold, right? Put it that way, you know. So how did you cope with the fact that there aren't too many competitions, with the exception of maybe like making of champions athletics competition that were being hosted at the time? How were you able to find other avenues to be able to get to the point whereby your time improved?
Well, there is no other means to compete so far here in Nigeria than just to attend the little ones that were being organized. Though we have a couple of competitions that we attended in 2021 compared to some other years. So the basic thing was that, okay, if you have a competition today, then probably the next one is in 3-4 weeks' time. I have to prepare for that one too. No, not making sure I wasn't missing out on most of those competitions, except I wasn't around or wasn't prepared for them. So the basic thing is that when I compete for this one, I prepare for the next one. Because I know there might be shortage of more competitions, and the qualifying window for the Olympics was getting closer. In fact, I eventually qualified for the Olympics in our national trials. That was the last opportunity I had then, because it was just five days to the closing window.
Wow. So you didn't really have any opportunity to, I mean, did you go outside of Nigeria? Apart from when you represented Nigeria, were you able to go to any other competition outside of Nigeria, whether in Africa or in Europe?
No, but there was a time we went on a training tour. I was part of the team that went for a training tour in the US. We participated in like 2 or 3 meets, and I participated as well.
Okay, right. And talking about that, which was sometime this year, you ran your first sub 10. How, that was at the trials you're talking about. Before you made that time, did you see any improvement in your, within yourself that made you know that I think I'm gradually getting there? Or it was just a case of Let me just give it a true go and let's see how it goes.
Well, by the grace of God, after my training sessions, I've been having some feelings. No, I've been having it in mind that, well, I think probably this is my last shot and I need to give it a good one. During my training sessions, I've noticed some improvements from my training sessions. Then I knew, I think anything can happen in the trials. So when the time came, I thank God, and I wasn't really more surprised as well because I've been seeing traces from my training sessions. Then from the heat, from semifinal round itself, when I ran 10.06, which was the personal best then, I already knew finals anything can happen. So I'm not sure, it didn't just come, didn't just come.
Wow. So, and again, when you now got to the finals of the heat itself, that's so when you go to the finals of the trials itself, you were obviously confidence was beaming. When you now made that time sub 10, well, eventually I think the it was 9.97, but officially it was 10 on the dot.
Yes.
Now when you made that time or you won that heat, how did that make you feel? You felt that, well, I'm ready.
During that time, I was very much happy. And before I eventually went to confirm the time, I was just praying that the wind reading was legal. Because around May, or was it March, I already ran 10.05 and the wind reading wasn't legal. So at this point, I was like, I just prayed the wind was stable and this and that. Then I felt great, excited. And the joy in me wasn't just about winning the 100 meters or something, it was just about qualifying for the Olympics. Yeah.
Okay, that's very good. So obviously by then you what was the cutoff time for making the Olympics?
And you needed 10.05.
Wow. And you had not even made that as at last year.
No.
But by the heat, you had made the time, isn't it? Oh,
the heat, I ran 10.06. It was 10.05 on the clock, but officially with the monitor, I think it was 10.06. So it was 10.06, 0.01 shy of the qualifying time.
Right. Did you feel any form of anxiety that, oh my God, just by one, would I be able to make it?
I wasn't really much anxious immediately around that 10.06. I wasn't really much anxious because I know it will come. God already promised it and I know he will do it.
Wow, that's great. I like your confidence. And the fact that you have your confidence is in God, as you've mentioned it quite a number of times. And that tells me that your faith has a great deal to play in your career. I remember I watched an interview where you said you run by revelation. What does that mean?
By the knowledge of Christ. I run by the knowledge of Christ. The mantra was God inspired when before I eventually took up the, I eventually decided fully that I want to go in fully into athletics, and it has been like that right from time.
great. Okay, so yeah. Now you made the sub 10, but even though the official time was 10 on the dot, and you were able to make the cutoff time for the Olympics, you were selected. Now there were. I will just fast forward a bit and I'll come back. So,
okay.
10 of your fellow athletes could not participate because they didn't fulfill the IAAF trial. So, the drug test required within the calendar year. So, how were you able to have those tests done for yourself? Because I know you're based in Nigeria.
We don't test by ourselves. It has been organized by either the National Anti-Doping Association or the World Anti-Doping Association. So I didn't do it by myself. I was just being able to participate in one or two that they organized in Nigeria. Then I did the final one when I got to Tokyo. So it wasn't as though I did it myself. I was able to do two in Nigeria, then I did the final one when I got to.
Okay. So, but does that involve the Athletics Federation being involved at any point in time, or the World Anti-Doping Association just contact you directly, or how does it happen, or is it at the competition?
Well, I won't want to talk much about it. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, that's right then. Now let's move on to Tokyo. Again, like I said, not too many people knew about Kadir Gokey, but fast forward, you got on the tracks. What was your aim, or what was your how will I put it? What was the goal that you set for yourself?
Okay.
Was it just run and participate, or you felt that, well, I can make a difference, I can give it a shot?
Okay, before the competition, I'll be hearing, okay, who will be the first Nigerian guy to get to finals after 25 years, this and that. You know, going for that, I was like, okay, we can make history here. Anything can happen. And one thing that was very strong in my mind was that I want to run 9 seconds. I just want to register 9 seconds officially. And my coach has been telling me, and even the coaches in camp, it can happen anytime. So from my heat, I knew I had to run. Semi-final, I had to run. And so before running the heat, I was like, okay, there are two things on my mind. I want to qualify for the finals. And that will mean, is that I come first or second? I mean, I want to qualify for the semifinals, sorry. Either first or second from my heat. Then I was like, okay, I can run 9 seconds as well. Though I was having some mindset, probably by around the 10-0, it can place me very well. But then stopping the clock, I saw 9.98. I was like, wow. So I had goals in mind, and thank God I was able to get them done.
Oh, that's great. And when you got to the tracks, when you got on the blocks with the fellow, did you know any, because you may or you may not know, that the fastest man in the year, in the athletics calendar year, was on the same block with you in that heat? Were you aware of the top guys there? I mean, was there any sort of shiver in you that, oh my God, international stage, some of the top athletes?
I've been following these guys right from the beginning of the season, so I know what they are capable of doing. I know what they are capable of doing. And I know if I'm to get to the next round, I have to put up a very good performance. But then with the feelings I've been having prior to the, probably few days to the competition, with my form at that time and the instructions my coach gave to me, I knew if I could be able to follow the instructions very well. And with how I've been doing in training, I knew I would be in the mix. So that was the mindset I took to the particular race. And I was like, okay, if I can be able to draw this together and God helping me, semifinal is obviously feasible. So that was the mindset I took for the race. And I knew these guys are fast as well, so I had to do what I can. I had to do what I had to do.
So after you won the heat, in which you run your personal best, how did you feel? First of all, did you know you won the race?
Yes, I knew I won the race. I knew I won the race, and after that, the next thing I was looking for was the time. Then when I saw the time, I was marveled. I was very, very much happy.
Great. And did you, any of the athletes that, well, did they come to meet you that, well, we didn't know you before, that kind of thing? Did anybody, or anybody just went there? Did anybody come to you?
Well, I have a senior brother that is running for Qatar. He's Femi Ogunade. He came second, then he came to greet me. Then the Great Britain guy was, wow, Nigeria. So immediately called Nigeria. I was like, this guy is surprised. And I was like, we did me well.
Oh, he was surprised.
He was surprised. Probably he didn't expect something like that.
Now, again, fast forward, the next day, semifinals. Now, obviously, you're new. Let me be honest with you. From my own perspective, I was just happy that you were able to run your personal best and you got to the semifinals. For me, that was progress. But for you, getting to semifinals, getting on the blocks, and you were running with virtually the same set of people again. Femi Ogunwode was there again, Zuriel Hughes of Team GB, and the American guy was the same set of guys again. How did you feel again? You were like, oh my God, how did you feel?
Well, the thoughts that kept coming to my mind, everything was that, okay, the previous day, this guy might not expect such performance from a Nigerian guy. So winning that particularity, they were like, wow, so there's one first guy, this and that. Then I know going for the second race, they'll be like, okay, then we already know you. So we are prepared as well for you. So I knew going to that particular race, this guy will put up a very good performance. They will come prepared ever than before. And I knew for me to be able to qualify for the finals, in which they only needed two from my heats, then I had to do better. I had to do fine and do better. So those are the things running through my mind. But then still, I had instructions from my coach. I prayed, and I just want to get to the finals. And crossing the line, I noticed it was between me and Trayvon, you know, who would. Then we had to wait. If I eventually knew, okay, I qualify for the finals. And it was just good.
Yeah. I was so elated when you was confirmed. And even Zurel Hughes, you could have won him. I think it came slightly towards the end, and you could have won that race automatically. Again, after the Polar race, what was the impression from some of the competitors that you had qualified? Because don't forget, at this particular point in time, in coach, you are like the underdog.
Yes. Well, I knew a lot of people would be surprised, because despite the fact people knew me from Commonwealth Games, but then I knew a lot of people would still be like, okay, Commonwealth just involved few countries, but Olympics is for every country. So they'd be like, well, maybe you can get to semifinals. But then, you know, getting to finals, being among the top eight in the world at that time, even a lot of people will be surprised. Even myself, I was very much happy. And the fact that it's coming from a Nigerian after 25 years of not having anyone in the finals, it's obviously a very special one for me, for a lot of persons, for the whole Nigerians. And I got messages on my social media pages from different countries, like from people of different countries that were very much surprised with the performance. So no one would have expected such, because I know the people that I know that, yes, on paper, these guys are better than me and they didn't get to finals. But me getting to finals, it's a very special one for me, like really, really special one for me.
Of course, what was the anticipation like in the Nigerian camp, as in your athletic families, when you got to the finals?
No, a coach came to meet me while on the track when I was resting ahead of the final. I was like, he's like, you don't know what you've done. Like, I didn't know, I didn't really value what has just been done. And I was just praying with him. I don't even pray I know the extent of our specialties, because I don't just want to live in that particular scenario for that particular period. No, he just came to me and said, you don't really know what you've done by qualifying for the finals. And I was overwhelmed.
I think I agree with him, because before then, the last time Nigeria qualified for a 100 meters final was 1996, Davidson Ezenwa. And for 25 years thereabout, well, prior to that, 24 years thereabout, we hadn't had. In fact, the ladies have been the poster persons for Nigeria as far as athletics was concerned. You know, we're talking about Blessing, you're talking about Toby, Issa Brume, you know, and all of a sudden you broke that jinx. And it shows that there's a good future for Nigerian athletics, but led for from the men's, because I know Raymond couldn't make it. I think he was injured. So the, Jerry Japa is still in the mix. Divine Oduduru and Orishe. So you guys are coming up. The love guys are coming up in the mix, which I think gives up a huge hope for optimism. Now fast forward to the finals. 2 hours, you know, to the finals. Lining up with the best. I mean, I watched the timing of those guys and I was scared. But talk us through to the finals. I've watched your race quite a number of times. And up to the 50-hour mark, there seemed to be a chance. So talk us through what happened.
Well, what happened, I do understand. Because, yeah, I prior to the finals, I was not prepared by the medical team because I felt some tightness and I went to meet our physio. He stretched me. After that, I did one or two drills to get set for the finals and I was just good to go. Then going to the finals, for a long period of time, I've not felt that kind of, I've not had that feeling because most of my races prior to this race are like, I want to qualify for Olympics, then get to Olympics, I want to qualify for this run. But I know that was the final race for the Olympics at that time. And for real, I went there with a free mind. Number one, getting to the finals alone already gave me joy. So I was going there with I had another goal in mind. I just had to change my targets. I was like, okay, the only thing I'm going for this final was, I want to better my time. And I know bettering my time will give me a good placement. And thinking about giving me a good placement, anything can happen. I can be at the medal table. I can get a medal. So I wasn't really more desperate. I was just going there. I just want to go and execute. So that gave me a good mental preparation for the finals. I was mentally prepared for it. And, you know, starting the race, I was so much happy with my first phase and I was already entering the next phase. And before I knew it, I felt the twitch. And I can't really afford that. You have to stop. So,
and that was it.
That was it.
But yeah, obviously, what was it like? I think generally everybody was still happy for you.
Yeah, people will be happy because I got to finals. I was happy myself, though I felt a bit pained that I got injured. Because yeah, the injury is not just about not being able to finish the race, but for sports people, they would. Only we know what recovery is like coming from injury, the overcoming the mental aspect of getting back to competing, to training, to competing. So at that point, I just thought about everything all of a sudden. I was like, well, it has happened. Just let me get back to work. And I decided I didn't really live much in the moment of getting injured. I just thank God for all he has helped me to achieve in the course of the competition. Because it was a big feat over there.
And rounding up now, so what is the plan for Enoch Adegoke? What are your plans now? Because to be whether you like it or not, you're among the top eight in the world. What are your next plans now?
Well, the only thing I'm focusing on presently is just to recover.
Okay.
That's the major thing for now.
That's great. So. We hope that you recover as soon as possible. Well, recover well, more like, and have your well-deserved break. And hopefully, we will see you very soon. Obviously, I think the next competition will be the World Athletics Championship next, or some next.
There are even competitions before that, so I had to recover fast and
so
well.
Yeah. So, and again, you've put yourself in the window to appear in all sort of meets. Thank you very much, Enoch. It's been wonderful Avenue on Sport Africana. And we hope to see. I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
There you have it. That's Enoch Adegoke. And until we come your way again, where we'll bring you the best of sports, have a wonderful day and stay blessed.